Good evening. I'm Robert Schuller, and this is the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls. And we're so excited to be here with you because we want to share the good news of Jesus Christ with the world. And we can do that through this medium of Facebook Live.
Good evening, and welcome to The Call. This is part of Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls. And we've been doing this for several years now, and it's our favorite date of the month because we always do this on the 15th of the month at 6 p.m. Pacific time. We're in California, so we did that on purpose because it's only 9 on the East Coast, and we have people from the East Coast that like to listen to us as well. And anyway, we love being with you. We have people on our conference line that call in by telephone. We have you all that are on Facebook, and we have people that listen afterwards via our podcast, Robert Schuller Ministries podcast, because this gets posted on our podcast and it stays up there forever and ever, and just like it does on Facebook, it stays forever and ever. So wherever you are, we're super happy. You know, we had a guest last month because we often have guests, and it was Jim Gale with Food Forest Abundance. If you haven't heard that message, you need to scroll back and find it. You can go to the podcast, in fact, and find it. And we talked about creating a food forest. So my question for you is, how many of you have started your edible gardens? Because we have, and really, yeah, right?
The way we started is we started collecting all of our
composting
compost stuff, and we got a little compost basket, and we're composting because it all begins with the soil.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I saw some seeds on the counter today. Am I right?
Yes, I'm germinating some cilantro seeds. So what we're going to do is we're going to plant the vegetables that we eat every single morning, because that's part of our morning routine. We eat a protein drink. We actually call it our green drink, but it's a lot more than that. It's typically kale, any other kinds of greens that we have in the house. We have celery, we have carrots, we have cilantro almost every Sunday, and or Sunday, every day.
Every day.
And if we can't,
not just once a week.
No.
Every
and
day.
If we can't find cilantro, we'll just use parsley. But cilantro is so good and so tasty. Then we use fresh ginger, a big chunk of it, and a couple other things, protein powder. And then we have an anti-inflammatory powder that we use every day. And I've been doing this about 15 years. Robert's been doing it about 10 years now. And it really makes a difference in your life.
So when we finish this drink, when we finish making this drink, it's a lot. I want to say it's close to 60 ounces. It's a great big blender, and that's my breakfast, and I find it very satisfying, that's all I'll eat until before noon,
it's a rule. It's a lot of food.
Yeah, it is.
So we're growing some of those greens so that we don't have to go to the grocery store. We want to grow kale and cilantro and celery and carrots and also lettuce. I've grown lettuce and arugula before. We don't put those in the drink, but we eat those for dinner. And they grow really easily. They grow like a weed. So anyway, I hope that you've started. For those of you on the move like Janet, I think you're in the process of moving. You can't start anything yet until you get settled, but I know you will. So we're here we are, and would you like to open with prayer?
That's a wonderful thing to do, because this is an effective church service. So we come before you, O God, right now in prayer. And we pray that you'll bring healing to our land and to our world. You are the master physician. You are the God of life and health and wholeness. And so bring life and health and wholeness to our nation and to our world, to our bodies, to our souls, to our minds. So in this hour, may we be drawn closer to you, and as a result, find peace from the inside. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen. You know, I was looking at my panel here because I had a couple people on, and now they're not here. So I'm hoping, our voices are working. Oh, yes, we go. Oh, too much static. Okay. I see one of our friends, Lindy, in Florida, said she had to hang up because there was too much static. So, Lindy, you can get on. She can't hear me. You can get on Facebook.
Well, what if we do this? No, she doesn't have Facebook.
No.
That's why we do this.
Yeah, that's why we do this.
That's sad that there's so much static.
I wonder why there's so much static. We've been having problems with our internet.
Why don't you hang up and text her and then call her back.
Okay, so you go ahead and talk about what we're going to talk about, what we've been talking about. Well, because you have to. Yeah, I'll call her
exactly.
Back.
So hey, we've been talking about peace from the inside, and peace from the inside comes by learning how to live in a way that produces peace. And so last Sunday, I talked about the 12 steps, the biblical 12 steps. And in that, we've discovered that there's ways for us to be able to come to a whole understanding of who Jesus is and how our lives are transformed. Because the first three steps are I can't, he can, let him. And that's the foundation upon which we receive peace and hope and goodness. So we're going to read some scriptures today. And I'm going to read the scriptures that Donna read last time. And Donna's going to talk about the 12 steps again because the 12 steps... Oh, Lindy's on now.
Well, I just reconnected here.
Oh, good. So
okay. Hi, Lindy, and whoever else is on there. There's
so
unknowns,
hopefully the static.
We're back. We're back. Hopefully
static
it's
is
okay.
Gone.
Oh, wait. And I've got to do this here. Oh, it's still in lecture mode. Okay. I'm still recording. It's all good.
Okay. Got that all put back together again. So last week, Donna read the scriptures that go along with the 12 steps. She's going to be talking more about the 12 steps and from her perspective and from her vantage point. And because the 12 steps are what help us, are a way of living. Even if you have not had an addictive personality, haven't been addicted to certain things, living by these 12 steps is something that everybody should do because it produces peace in a way that that's just the only way I know to really get true inner peace. So I'm going to read the scripture passages that we have here. So listen to these words. And by the way, they are posted on our Facebook page and also on our are they posted
website.
On our website
on
as
website.
Well? Yeah,
I'm
perfect.
Excuse myself a second while you do that.
So hear these words. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Therefore, if you are offering your gifts at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift. So if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you do not fall. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Brothers, if someone is caught in sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Dear God, thank you for these scriptures. Thank you for these words. Thank you for these Bible verses, which are keys to understanding successful, peaceful relationship with you and others. So fill our hearts and our minds that we might be able to examine our souls and come to the realization that we can find healing only through you. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
So we were a couple minutes late because we were actually at an event where Robert was asked to do the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance, of all things. Isn't that great? so well.
Yeah, I think that's the first time I've led in a Pledge of Allegiance since I was in elementary school or something like that.
Yeah, it's nice.
I'm always asked to give the prayer. So they asked me to give the Pledge of Allegiance. And when I got there, I said, so is there anybody scheduled to do a prayer? And they said, no. Well, and then they immediately said, would you like to pray? And I said, yes. So
we left there. Luckily, the event was very close to our house, actually a mile away. So we got in the car and came back here and then just had some things to do to set up the camera and the cell phones and on Connect. So apologize, but I think we were only 2 minutes late. And then evidently it's a lot clearer now because I see Lindy, you're back
still there
and you
good.
Haven't hung up. So cool. Good.
Yay.
Yay. So, you know, it's interesting because Robert, did you tell him that you're doing this out of your old book, Dump Your Hangups?
No.
So, you know, Robert wrote an entire book on the 12 steps called Dump Your Hangups Without Dumping Them on Others, because that's the idea. You know, we all have shortcomings, even if, like he said, even if you're not addicted to anything. I mean, you can be addicted to alcohol, drugs, shopping, sex. I mean, you know, the sky's the food. You can be, there's a bunch of other things you can be addicted to, but you don't have to be addicted to things to work on yourself, because all of us have something, a shortcoming of some sort. And what did you say? If you don't think you have a shortcoming at all and that you're perfect, what are you?
You're a narcissist.
Yeah, so
your
that
shortcoming,
is, your shortcoming.
is narcissism.
And so, yeah. You know, all kidding aside, I mean, the great thing about these 12 steps is, you know, there's a place for forgiveness. There's a place for, well, first of all, there's a place for honoring God and putting God first in your life and just some self-reflection and all. And besides that, you get to a point where you make amends with people. And obviously a lot of people have been hurt by others, and it doesn't mean to put yourself in an abusive situation and go into a situation, even if it's just a friendship, to be hurt again. But these are truly, you know, actions that you make after you examine your own heart and prayerfully say, you know, I think maybe I did hurt that person 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And sometimes the people you've hurt have already passed away. Maybe it's a mom, a dad, a friend, a sister, a brother, just somebody at work. Maybe it's, I don't know. But it's never too late to just make amends, even if they're gone. You can write them a letter. And of course, you don't mail it to them. They're hopefully in heaven, not the other place. But
and then the other thing you don't want to do is make amends with it in the situation that would cause them pain.
No,
and hurt.
No, you don't.
So
no.
You can write them a letter again, but keep it for yourself and not mail it.
Exactly, which is a great thing to do. So, you know, I think the idea here is to just become a better person. And the last part, well, you know, you have a way of breaking these down in three different parts, and we want to keep this to 30 minutes, but I think you should share how you do that, because I think it's really helpful the way all these steps are lumped together in three different steps. It's really helpful.
Good.
You shared that on Sunday.
Okay, I'll do that. But first, I think we need to give people an opportunity to share their faithfulness in God and to talk a little bit about the fact that we have an opportunity to give, and that this ministry exists because of the faithful gifts of those
Absolutely.
Who support this ministry. And without them, we couldn't do this. We'd be having to work a couple jobs to make ends meet, and we wouldn't be able to do this. So this is our full-time occupation. We have no other income. That isn't why I'm asking you to give. That isn't why you should give. That isn't why you give. You give because God has asked us to. He asked us to test him, put him to the test, and see if I will not bring out such a blessing upon you that your storehouses won't be able to contain it. God is very faithful. He wants to know that we put him above things, above money, above other things. That's why it's important for us to give. We need to give not because ministries and churches need it. We need to give because we need to show God that we have faith in him and we trust him. And when we do, he, with what measure we give, it shall be used to give back to you. So we find out that it is impossible to outgive God. And that as we continue to give, it comes back in ways we cannot imagine. So Don and I have a typically will say yes to most anything. We have flown across the nation and spoken at different events with no remuneration whatsoever. We pay our own airline tickets. We do everything. But we do that when we feel called by God to do that. We say yes to almost everything. And we do that because we believe that by giving, it is impossible to outgive God.
It's
and
true.
God has continued.
We've tested it.
And over and over and over again.
Turn it down a little bit.
A little too bright for you?
Yeah, it's hurting my eyes. And I have blue eyes, so they're sensitive.
So we just give. We give our time, we give our energy, we give our finances. We have several different organizations
well,
that
we
support.
Well, we have about 16 or 17 organizations.
That we financially support.
Financially support.
So,
and I have a copy of that. It's available online here.
So anyway, there's several ways you can give to our ministry if you wish to do so. The first way is you can go to our website at drschuler.org. And you'll find a button there that you can hit and then follow the prompts.
It says, I'd like to give.
And we encourage you to give in recurring gifts so that it just takes place automatically. In addition to that, at the bottom of that page, you'll find our address and you can mail a check. And the address is?
It's 26 Canyon Island Drive in Newport Beach, California. 92660 and always Robert Schuler Ministries, 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. And last but not least, you can give on Venmo. If you have a Venmo account, look for Robert Schuler Ministries and you can give that way. And we appreciate anything you're able to give, and we appreciate those of you that have always supported us. There's many people that support us, and we really, really appreciate it. And we couldn't do what we do, like Robert said. So there you go.
It's a win-win situation. That's the way God works. He believes in win-win, and everybody wins. And so that's why we do that. So if you look at the first three biblical 12 steps, they break down into I can't, he can, let him. That's how it breaks down. I discovered that the first time when I went and visited my friend after he had been in a treatment center for a week, and the first words out of his mouth were, I can't, he can, let him. And I said, what? He said it again. He repeated, I can't, he can, let him. And I said, so he goes, those are the first three. That's how it all begins. That's the foundation of the 12 steps. The way they say it is, we admit we are powerless over our addictions and compulsive behaviors, that our lives have become unmanageable. What's the second one?
The second one, step two, is we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And number three, we made a decision. You hear that? You got to make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God.
Those are the first three. I can't.
No, it's not a martini, John. It's water with some lemon in it. It's gone. I'm sorry. That's pretty funny.
That is funny. I can't, he can, let him. Those are the first three biblical 12 steps for recovery and for inner peace. Because these are steps we all want to use and practice in our lives, regardless of how we've lived, regardless of what kind of addictions we may have. These things work for every human being. And that is the foundation of coming to Jesus Christ. It's the foundation of Christianity. I can't earn my way into heaven. I can't. Do what I can't, but God can if I let him. So I can't, he can, let him. Then what you have is you have steps four and five. And steps four and five deal with shame and guilt. I think you've expressed to me before what the difference is between shame and guilt.
Yeah, typically when you feel guilty for something, you feel like you've done something bad or something that you shouldn't have done. And the difference between that and shame is that you feel like you are bad. So it's really not a good thing when guilt turns into shame, because that can happen when things start stacking up and you start feeling like you're a bad person. And I know in raising kids, it's important. And I remember I was always cognizant of this with some of my training. You never tell your child that they're bad. You can say you did a bad thing, because if somebody does a bad thing, they can feel guilty. And again, if you feel like you are bad, then that goes into shame. That's a very, very deep, destructive emotion that nobody wants to own.
So how do you deal with shame and guilt? That's steps 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. Step 4 is the preparation for the action. Step 5 is the action. Mm. So step 4 is we make a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. So we start looking at our lives and we say, okay, I've done some really bad things in my life. I have some bad behavior. I have some bad things. And we make this this searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Then we take the next step and we admit to God, to ourselves, and another living, breathing human being, and we share with them the exact nature of our wrongs. And that can be challenging.
Yeah, that can be a challenging thing, but it's very freeing, you know. That
exactly.
If you hold on to things that you're ruminating over that are in your soul, you give them that power over you. And the minute you turn them over to God by admitting them, then they lose all their power. No matter what it is, it loses its power by admitting it.
So then we come to steps 6 and 7. And steps 6 and 7 deal with our character defects. Our independability. So you just aren't dependable. You make promises. You know, I was raised by, you know, yes, you can do anything. You can make it happen, and you make lots of promises. And unfortunately, there's a lot of things that you promise that you can't deliver. And so I had to. I think I was in my mid-20s, late 20s when I came to the conclusion to under-promise and over-deliver. And it was a conscientious decision that I had to make to under-promise and over-deliver. And people are a lot happier, and I was a lot happier. And I lost all that stress of over-promising and over-committing, and that became so stressful. And then when I'd fail, I felt so bad. And it just led to unrest. And for me to get to that point where I under-promise so that I know I can over-deliver, it was absolutely freeing. It was fantastic. And so that's what steps 6 and 7 deal with, our character defects. Maybe you don't have that character defect, but you have other character defects. Maybe it's time management, or maybe it's...
Dishonesty,
yeah. Maybe you're just not responsible and as a result aren't dependable. But these are the character flaws you come to realize, and these are steps 6 and 7. Would you read steps 6 and 7?
Sure. Step 6, we were entirely ready to have God remove all of these defects of character. And then step 7, we humbly asked him to remove all of our shortcomings.
So again, it's a preparation step. We're prepared to have to deal with it. 7 is when we actually deal with it. So the same thing takes place with 8 and 9. You have preparatory action, and then you have action. So steps 8 and 9 is where we deal with people that we've actually harmed in our past, then that haunt us. We have regrets. I wish I hadn't done that. And I wish I hadn't harmed that person. I wish I hadn't said that. And we have these things. We sit down and we make this moral inventory of our lives. And we have to do that. And we make a list of all the persons we've harmed and become willing to make amends to them all. You notice that's the process of you write it down. And all of these steps, we used to have at Ranch Capistrano, where we had developed a 175-acre ranch in San Juan Capistrano. We had 150 room suites there. And I know people who are on this call who know exactly what I'm talking about. They participated in it. I know there's more than one who participated in these events. And we had 12-step events that would take place. And the reason we did that is you cannot do this in a day.
No.
It takes hours and hours. You can spend all day on the first three steps.
And isn't it? It's a process that and you repeat throughout your life. It doesn't just, you don't just do it once and then go away.
No.
I mean, yeah.
So you need a whole day for each one of these sections. I call them sections. I like to think of them as sections because, again, one is preparatory for the other. So we have in steps 8 and 9, we're dealing with people we've harmed. So first we make a list, we take an inventory of people we've listed, and then we say, okay, I'm going to make amends with these people. Do you want to read them?
Sure. Right.
Make a list of all the people we've harmed.
Yes. Number 8, I thought you already did. So we made a list of all the persons we had harmed. We became willing to make amends to them all. Again, willing. This is something that you have to be willing to do. You can't be coerced in doing this. And then we made direct amends to people whenever possible, except, like Robert said earlier, except when to do so would cause harm or injury to them or to another person. And then, let me read.
Sure.
Number 10, we continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. You know, that can be really hard for some people.
So steps 10, 11, and 12 yes. are known as the maintenance steps.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why you continue to live this way, right? And if you do something wrong, you know, it's amazing. As soon as you start practicing this, it becomes easier.
It becomes second nature.
Exactly.
You don't let anything fester within you. You harm somebody. And a week later, you go and you make restitution.
A week, we would be really bad off if we did that to each other.
Yeah, well, for each other.
We usually do it within minutes. Like, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I'm in a bad mood. Number 11, we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and power to carry that will out. And then number 12, having had a spiritual experience as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others, kind of like we're doing, and practice these principles in all our affairs. And you know, we started out this program tonight by saying, this works for anything. You don't have to be an addict to practice these 12 steps. You know, I know people that have hated other human beings for the last 25 years, and they're living in misery, and they can let go of that. They can let go of it. They don't, again, making amends with somebody doesn't mean you're going to restore your relationship. It just means you get it off your chest, you get it out of your heart and out of your soul, and you're done with it. You're done and you move on. So it's just so powerful. So
that's why this is all about inner peace. It's all about peace.
It is about peace.
If you don't feel at peace in your heart and your mind and your soul, this is the key to finding peace
and freedom.
And freedom. Mm-hmm. And you know, our church is all about freedom, and this ministry is all about freedom. We love freedom.
We do.
We love medical freedom. We love spiritual freedom. We love freedom to assemble.
We love people taking responsibility for their lives.
Exactly.
Too, not waiting for somebody else to help them. And you know, that's a difficult thing because we have a lot of blessings in this country. But I think when in the times we've been in, we're finding out that we really need to step up to the plate and take responsibility for ourselves and our families, because nobody else is going to do that. It's up to us.
And that's one of the reasons we're really excited about growing our own food.
Right.
Because we take personal responsibility in feeding ourselves. And, we are so dependent on so much in our culture and in our lives today.
Well, look what happened when we ran out of toilet paper a year ago,
exactly.
March. It's like, what? So, and I know a lot of the, I'm not trying to say prudent, but a meat, a lot of chicken and beef and all the meats were because of the supply chain and the USDA and all this stuff that got held up because of the virus early on. You go to the store and the stuff just wasn't there. Now, we're not going to grow cows in our backyard because we don't have a backyard. We're in a townhome, but there are people that can do that. In fact, we know friends that moved out of Nevada and they're living on the East Coast and they're building a beautiful ranch with all kinds of animals. And anyway, so
it's a farm.
So we want to encourage you to do what you can to produce some of your own food.
So anyway, that's our message for today. Finding inner peace by following the biblical 12 steps. I read the verses that go along with each one,
and we have that posted.
So along with those 12 steps, so you can examine them, you can practice them, and you can just start in prayer and work on the first one. That's usually the best place to start, is with the first one, and that is we admit to ourselves that we are powerless over our addiction and compulsive behaviors, that our lives have become unmanageable. And when we make that profession, and we realize that we need God's help.
Absolutely.
And that's the start.
Everybody needs God's help, no matter where we are. So we love you all. We'll be back with you. If it's the 15th of the month at 6 p.m. Pacific time, it's time for
The Call.
The Call. And I think next month we'll have a great guest for you. So join us on August 15th, 6 p.m. Pacific time.
God loves you, everybody. Have a great
yes.
day.
Have a great
night.
Yes.
And God bless you all.
God bless you. He is blessing you. Bye.